Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Again, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful and powerful and light and grace-filled word. Thank you for the wisdom, the counsel, the grace, the strength, the joy, the light, and the power found in your word. And Lord, we thank you for these beautiful accounts within your word of mothers, pregnancy, and motherhood. And thank you for the beautiful art that's found in just observing them as they carry out what you call them to do and to be. Father, more and more empower us as the church to recognize, Lord, that life is from you. Life is a gift from your hand, and that we're to treasure it. And as we look to your word, we too will grow in our understanding of how precious every life is. Thank you for the gift of mothers, the gift of motherhood. Thank you for the gift of pregnancy. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we as the church have of being able to praise and worship you in view of the fact that you're the God that created all of this and the beauty behind it. Help us to honor you and to worship you and to serve you and to be as bright, shining lights standing boldly for life and against the tragedy of abortion as you would have us to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, love. Thank you so much for these moments. And Father, first I want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph that you'd reveal to us more how beautiful it is to be made by you, for your hands to form us in our mother's wombs, for you to have plans for us, for you to call us to greater things. Father, how beautiful it is to be part of a family. How beautiful is it to be called into your family, for you to invite us into your embrace. Father, I ask that you'd reveal these things more to us, that we could walk more in love and that we could glimpse more into the love that you have for us. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And Father, thank you once again for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for us not only as the church, but thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Just before we introduce our guest, I'm going to take a few moments to share, as we often do, an article that will help us further introduce the topic we'll be looking at. But also, again, in this season of the year in which we celebrate mothers, again, it draws out, again, the wonderful gift every mother is to their families and to the world. The title of the article is Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Again, 1 Samuel 1, 27 through 28. Three unique stories of life, pregnancy, and motherhood are found in the Word of God under very unique and interesting circumstances. Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary are three women from the Old or New Testament of the Bible who each became mothers through unique circumstances. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah was a young wife who had a great desire to be the mother of a little boy. She was barren until, after praying and committing her son to the Lord blessed her to conceive and birth a son. Elizabeth's story is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had prayed for a child for a long time. After many years, the Lord blessed them with a son. When she did become pregnant, it was at an age that people would clearly consider her pregnancy as miraculous. Mary was a young virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her story is found largely in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Yet before the consummation of their marriage, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She was soon found to be with child by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God before she was married. In Luke chapter 1, Mary responded by giving God great praise and thanksgiving for the blessing and honor of the responsibility. There were other women in Scripture who longed to be mothers or treasured being a mother: Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, to name a few. A question one might ask is this: why does any woman wish to be a mother? Mothers typically have to give so much of themselves to one or more children. They will typically sacrifice much of their time, strength, and attention for those children. Obviously, during pregnancy, there can often be much discomfort, inconvenience, and sacrifice by the mother in order to see after the well-being of the baby. Her child during and after pregnancy will be the focus of much of her time and attention. And this may be true for around 18 years or so of her life, and actually well beyond. It seems that sacrificial giving of oneself is just part of being a mother. Interestingly, though, Naomi in the book of Ruth speaks of her daughters-in-law finding, quote-unquote, rest each in the house of a husband. Since when does a mother find, quote-unquote, rest in her home with a husband and a number of young children? It seems that Naomi is not so much talking about rest for her physical body. She's referring to rest as in a sense of fulfillment and contentment as a wife and a mother of children. And there's definitely a sense of fulfillment for many women when they're blessed with certain gifts that only God can give. Some of those gifts are marriage, pregnancy, and motherhood. Without question, we see in God's word that many women longed to bear children, longed to be mothers, and often desire to have an abundance of children. See Genesis 29 and 30. Tragically, we live in a world and culture today where many do not value these precious gifts from God. Sadly, some people don't seem to place much value on them at all. In fact, some people would say that pregnancy and motherhood are a burden and an inconvenience. People who support abortion will often have and encourage this kind of attitude. Abortion is a major tragedy that is at war with the reality of pregnancy and motherhood. It strikes against most everything that is life, including pregnancy and motherhood. It destroys pregnancy along with the baby. Sadly, sometimes physically, emotionally, and otherwise, it may destroy the mother. Why would anyone be unwise enough to destroy that which God creates? There are so many women who long to be pregnant and have a baby, but have not been able to. Certainly, there are many mothers who are mothers through adoption, which is certainly a wonderful thing. Becoming a mother through adoption is also a gift from God. May we take time to pray and honor our mothers during this season. Let's also take time to honor God who gave us mothers. And may we also recognize, honor, and cherish the gifts God has entrusted to these, our precious mothers: life, pregnancy, and motherhood. Again, the title of that article, Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get you a copy again, joseph@afr.net. We are very honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Sarah Neely of Operation Rescue. Sarah, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great to have you. Now, it's been a while. You've been our guest some time ago, but it's actually been, I think, actually a few years. So we're grateful to have you once again. Would you take time now, Sarah, to further introduce yourself and further introduce our listeners to the ministry of Operation Rescue?
Yeah. So I was on your show before with another group, CEC for Life, that I worked for a long time. But last year I transitioned into this job as the project coordinator for Operation Rescue. I'd actually worked for Operation Rescue part-time for many years, just sort of like on the side. And so I made this transition, which was just the time to do it. And it's been really great. I don't know if you've ever had to work for two different ministries at one time, but it can be a very difficult balancing act. And so I've really enjoyed the last few months having just one focus. Operation Rescue is one of the leading pro-life Christian activist organizations in America. Our goal is to use every legal tool available to expose abortion abuses, to demand enforcement, and by doing that, save innocent lives that otherwise would be snuffed out behind the doors of an abortion clinic.
Sarah, I'm gonna have to jump in right here. We're gonna pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Sarah Neely of Operation Rescue. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sarah Neely of the ministry Operation Rescue. Sarah, if you'll just pick up right there where you left off as you were further introducing and sharing about the work and the mission of Operation Rescue.
Sure. So our goal is really to build an abortion-free America, and we do that by shutting down clinics one at a time. And we shut them down by exposing abuses and pushing for enforcement. And that has been our goal for a long time. We do a lot of research. We have an annual report where we literally track abortion clinics throughout America. We have one of the few comprehensive surveys that we do every single year, and we're able to track trends. We're able to track numbers. We're able to see closures that are happening every single year.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing about that. Again, I imagine many of our listeners have heard at least the name of Operation Rescue, whether they fully knew what your work and mission was about. But then there are some listening who this might be their first time hearing about the ministry of Operation Rescue. So thank you for sharing that. Sarah, at this point, would you take a moment now to pray for our listeners that they would be able to receive and hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast and through that which you'll be sharing with us today?
Of course. Lord, I just ask that you would open our hearts, open our eyes and ears, God, that we could hear your voice and that we could see your burden for the preborn, Lord, your grief at abortion and the sorrow you feel when these lives are ended so violently and so quickly in the name often of selfishness and fear. And Lord, I just pray that anyone listening today, that you would just make your heart known to them and that you would soften their heart to the preborn and just, Lord, show them ways that they can be involved, ways that they can pray, ways that they can help pregnant women, ways that every day in their daily life they can make a difference and come alongside these preborn children who have been targeted for death, and these women who are targeted for a life of sorrow, Lord, that comes when someone chooses an abortion. Just help us, Lord, to be the community that we need to be for pregnant women in difficult situations, pregnant women who need support, who need just someone to come alongside and say, hey, I can help you with that. Hey, I'm with you. Hey, you can do this. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen the church and to strengthen its voice for the preborn and to strengthen, Lord, its heart for helping these women. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege we have of being your hands and feet in the world, in the sharing of the gospel, the work of making disciples, and also the work of helping to end the tragedy of abortion in our world. Lord, stir us, Lord, individually and collectively as the church, to be about the work faithfully that you're calling us to stand for life. And help us to know, Lord, that speak to every single listener as to letting them know what it is you're calling them to do in their involvement in the cause of standing for life. Help us to know, Lord, there's something all of us can do. We all can pray, yet there are other tasks you call us to, whether it be praying specifically for pregnancy ministries or praying for other pro-life ministries like Operation Outreach every single day, giving financially to ministries such as these and volunteering. Lord, help us to know, Lord, there's so much work to be done. Help us to be wide open to whatever you would direct us by your Spirit to do to help in this critical cause. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Sarah, again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. One of the key things we wanted to talk to you about is you wrote a powerful article that I think it was close to about a month, 4 to 5 weeks or so ago. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to share with our listeners basically the story behind that article.
Yeah. So when I talk about we expose abuses from abortion clinics, we often cover, we follow an abortion clinic in a way, we build a body of evidence. So this is a clinic that we have been following for some time. We have reported on it many times. I have a good relationship with the sidewalk counselors that are out there. They're very faithful out there, very vigilant. Anytime they see something suspicious or something worrisome, you know, they contact us and let us know so that we can look into it. In March, I had one of the ladies contact me because some police cars had arrived. Now, normally, if it's an emergency, you know, an ambulance will arrive, and that's a lot of what we cover when an ambulance arrives, and then we're able to get the 911 call and the different reports that kind of tell us what might have gone on with this emergency. But there was no ambulance, so they thought maybe there was some other emergency taking place, and I was able to get the 911 records for that. And so what essentially happened was a 16-year-old girl had been brought to the clinic for an abortion. We don't know what kind. It could have been surgical or medical. My guess would be medical, simply because North Carolina's laws have just changed. And this particular clinic specialized in difficult second trimester abortions, which is one of the reasons they likely had so many emergencies, because those are very dangerous. But since the laws have changed, they haven't been able to do that as much. So they're trying to, many of these Planned Parents are trying to amp up their medication, abortion services to sort of make up for that money. So anyway, this 16-year-old girl had come and once she was back in one of the rooms, she told a Planned Parenthood staffer that she was being forced to have this abortion, by the people who were with her. Her mother was there, her boyfriend, and her boyfriend's mother, according to the police reports. So she had three people with her, this 16-year-old girl, who had been told she had to have this abortion. And she was so desperate that she waited until she was back with the staff away from everybody to tell them this. And essentially what the family had threatened was that if she had the baby, she would have to go live with her grandmother. And the girl stated that the grandmother was abusive, and that when she had lived with her before, she had felt suicidal. So this was a very bad situation that her family was using as a threat to make her have this abortion. So we get the records, 911 records. We listen to like the police chatter. That's how we kind of piece the story together. But we don't know certain things. We don't know, for instance, we don't know what happened with this girl. Nobody, from what people on the sidewalk reported, nobody saw her leaving with the police or being taken away from the people who were trying to coerce her. Nobody knows when she left. So I don't know if it's possible she could have gone back in and the police could have resolved it by convincing her to have the abortion, in all honesty. That could have happened. I have no evidence for that. This is just speculation. But because she wasn't taken away, or at least nobody saw her being removed from this group of people, I would wonder if they found another way to pressure her, or if they just said, you know, talked her into it when she was in the clinic. I don't know if that's true. But we know that women choose abortion all the time because they feel like it is the only option they have. Mm-hmm. And this girl was being told that is the only option she had, instead of being told that she could be a mother, that she could love her baby, and she was obviously being a very good mother to speak up for her baby once she was away from this group of people and say she did not want this abortion.
Well, Sarah,
go ahead.
I want to ask you to expound on this, you know, because this is something that, again, Many of our listeners may or may not be aware of this, but you know, one thing that is very, very true is that in all 50 states, it's true that if a mother says she does not want the abortion, that it's against the law for a mother or a father or a boyfriend or anyone else to try to coerce her to get an abortion. Yet sadly, who knows how many women every year are coerced to get abortions just by people that should be loving and supporting her, sadly, are, I guess you really could call them predators, people trying to force this to happen, even though it's against the law. Would you expound on that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Like, just as you stated, it is illegal in all 50 states. And to be honest, it was surprising to us that Planned Parenthood even called 911 for this, because Planned Parenthood has been found many times not reporting minors who are getting abortions. They have been found many times covering up for pimps and human traffickers. So it's not in their typical documented behavior to call 911 for a 16-year-old who said she doesn't want an abortion. I'm thankful that they did call 911. But in North Carolina, and this could be a reason, in North Carolina especially, in 2023, North Carolina passed what's called an omnibus abortion bill. So it's like a whole bunch of regulations. It made national news because the governor actually vetoed it, and then the legislature vetoed his veto. But in that new law, a woman has the right to sue any physician who provided an abortion knowing the woman was being coerced. So that was a new law for them. And in the 911 call, the staffer that called, although she did seem somewhat concerned about this girl and what she seemed especially concerned about what would happen when they told the family she wasn't doing the abortion that day. But she actually said, when she was talking to the 911 dispatch, she said she's being forced to have her procedure. And she said, unfortunately, my provider will not do the procedure if she's being forced, which is a really odd way to word it. Unfortunately, my provider can't do this, won't do the procedure if she's being forced. And our question, of course, is unfortunate for who? You know, unfortunate for this girl who is terrified, who's being forced to have an abortion, or unfortunate for Planned Parenthood, who's not going to get the money they were going to get for that abortion that day. And I think it just shows that when your job is to kill children in the womb, there's like a hardness of heart, obviously, that comes out in weird ways. And so this woman might say, well, I misspoke, you know, but it's not surprising that the harsh language comes out to say, well, unfortunately, we can't do it because she's being forced, you know, too bad. So I don't know how much people realize, you know, in the media and stuff, you always hear that abortion is, you know, it's empowering to women. We got to support women, trust women, all that. But I really don't think people realize that, one, coercion is very illegal, and also how often it happens and how many post-abortive women say, I had my abortion because I was told that was my only option. I had my abortion because if I didn't, they were going to kick me out. If I didn't, my boyfriend was going to leave me. If I didn't, my parents were going to harm me. And this, I mean, this girl is a perfect tragic example that her own, her mother and who would be the grandmother of her child were telling her, you either have this abortion or we put you in a really unsafe environment.
And you know, Sarah,
that's not empowering.
I think of this, that it's so important for us as the church to be mindful that that's one more reason why it's critically important for the church to be praying every day for the ministry of pregnancy clinics and praying every day for the Spirit of God to be at work at every abortion clinic there is, as well as amongst people that are abortion-minded, because many times the women are feeling such pressure, and sadly, from people who should be loving and supporting them. And I think of this, too. You know, the Justice Foundation is a wonderful ministry that's been involved in the pro-life cause for many years. They produced at least a couple different tools. One is called the Dear Parent Letter, and the other is the Dear Client Letter, both of which explain. One is geared to speaking to the parent of a minor, a girl who's pregnant, and the other, of course, to a woman. But the fact is, both of them explain that if the mom wants to keep her baby, just as you just mentioned a few moments ago, that it's against the law for anybody dad or mom, boyfriend, or anyone else to coerce. Yet, sadly, it's so tragic how often it still seems to happen in so many circles, though. But further thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a resource that, again, I don't know that a lot of people know about, the Dear Parent Letter. There's that's what the Justice Foundation, they have about 10 different letters. They have a Dear Student, Dear Parent, Dear Father, Dear Police, and that just explains their rights. And that, again, that's not something that's highlighted, that when you become a mom, you have parental rights over your child. No one is allowed to tell you what to do with those rights. No one is allowed to tell you that you have to have an abortion. That is very illegal. And it's not emphasized. It's not spread about by the mainstream media. I think because in one way to do that, they'd have to acknowledge that women were being coerced. And that doesn't fit their narrative. And so it's important, if you're a pro-life Christian, I think it's so important to know these kinds of things. I think it's so important to know, if you come across a young pregnant woman, do you have a plan to help her? Do you know the resources in your city? Do you know where
Sarah,
the
I'm going to need to jump in one more time, and we can pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Sarah Neely of the ministry Operation Rescue. We'll be right back. Music of Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Sarah Neely of the ministry Operation Rescue. And Sarah, if someone wants to get in touch with Operation Rescue or learn more about the ministry and the work, how can they do that?
The easiest way would probably be to visit our website. It is operationrescue.org.
Okay. All righty. Well, Sarah, I would mention, kind of going back once again to the story behind the tragic story behind the article, I want to remind every listener, remember, every single believer listening can pray. Pray more and more for the Spirit of God to be at work mightily in and around every abortion clinic, because lots of people are not aware that there are huge numbers of women who've gone into abortion clinics and changed their minds. And typically, that's because somebody somewhere is praying, and the Spirit of God is working on the heart and the mind of that mother and in that situation. So please remember, all of us can pray for the grace and the Spirit of God to be at work mightily in and around every abortion clinic, as well as we should be praying for God to bless and prosper the work of pro-life ministries like Operation Rescue, ministries like pregnancy clinics that are in our local communities as well. So our prayers are very, very important, and I would remind all of our listeners to be mindful of this fact. There's so much deception in our culture that's woven into the fabric of much of our culture that's just there. I think of the fact that, sadly, to use a term like reproductive health care, that sounds like a nice, warm term, but to to disguise abortion, which is murdering a baby, with a term like reproductive health care is so deceptive. And so it's important that the church really be speaking the truth in love, be aware of what's going on, educate ourselves about the issues surrounding the issue of life as well. So, but would you expound on this, Sarah? You know, I think of this that, you know, so many times when a woman wants to keep her baby and even though she has family and relatives that are coercing to get an abortion, and then for whatever reason the abortion doesn't happen. Again, in this case, you mentioned the mother, the boyfriend, and the boyfriend's mother. All of them were wanting her to get an abortion, which is tragic to be, period. But when the baby's born, it's almost comical how much all of a sudden everybody falls in love with the baby. Mom, boyfriend, well, not always, but often. And the boyfriend's mother, though, and many times they're ashamed of themselves, the fact that they wanted to see this precious child die. But would you share your thoughts on that reality?
Yeah, I think that I think you're right. People don't realize a baby is a source of joy. And when a girl is pregnant or a woman is pregnant and she's not in an ideal situation, it's hard to see that joy. The baby's not right there in front of her, and she has this mounting narrative from the media and from just everywhere about how, you know, this is going to ruin her life and not really be something beautiful that will make her happier than maybe anything else she's ever done. And so I think it's important for pro-life Christians, one, to know that, to be able to speak to that. And then also to be, you know, churches, just yourself, to be a person, a safe person that a pregnant woman could confide in. You know, our churches should talk about pregnancy and abortion. They should make it known that their church is a place of refuge, that if you know a pregnant woman who needs a community, we're here for her. We don't care about the circumstances. It's really important that the church offers that support intentionally and not just assuming like, well, of course we would help a pregnant woman. You know, pregnant women don't know that. They don't know that. They're scared. And so the more you're able to talk about it and the more you're able to know what resources are available in your own community, the more God's going to be able to use you if you come across someone who needs help.
That's right. That is so true. You know, we've had the privilege of having on more than one occasion representatives from the ministry Love Life, which they highlight the ministry that churches can basically take on, referred to, as you just alluded to this, call themselves a house of refuge. And one of the things they would do is they will consistently make the statement from the pulpit or in a very public way, we are a house of refuge. If you find yourself expecting a baby at a tough time, we want to help you. These are things we want to do to come alongside and love you. And that's such a good thing because, like you said, many times not only does the mother not know that, she may be assuming that the church will basically be very accusing and very condemning and not helping and not wanting to help. So when they make the statement, it can make all the difference in the world, you know. So,
absolutely.
But in our last few minutes of our time, Sarah, though, are there any other things on your mind, your heart, that you'd like to share with listeners about things, issues they need to be mindful of as it relates to standing for life or issues in our culture that we really need to be praying diligently about?
Well, I think it's important to remember that this is an election year. And, you know, some Christians are like, oh, I don't get involved in politics. But right now in our country, abortion is a political issue, whether you want it to be or not. And it's a dividing issue. And since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, these elections that are coming up, and more than that, there are ballot initiatives. So a lot of states are moving to either enshrine abortion in their state constitution or to enshrine protections for the preborn in their state constitution. There's a real battle going on between the states and America right now, and it is a spiritual battle because there is a side that wants to kill more children and a side that will protect children. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying for people running for office. We need to be praying that God foils the plans of the enemy in these states. We need to be praying that God's voice is known over all the noise that we hear. Because I think that this coming presidential election, I mean, it's going to, it means something for abortion. Mm-hmm. It just does. And that's not convenient. I know people don't always love to get involved, feel like they're involved in politics. Some people say, well, I'm just a Christian, you know. But, I mean, the truth is, if you live in a state that's highly pro-abortion and you're not voting for pro-life candidates or candidates that at least say they will protect life, you're helping open the door for more abortion in your state. I mean, you are. We live in a democracy where you do get to vote, you know?
That's right.
So I would just encourage people to keep that in prayer. Just really keep that in prayer and to be involved in the ways that are effective.
Sarah, would you specifically take time now to pray for the church to become much more mobilized in the way they're involved? And, of course, many churches are doing many good things, but there's so much more that can be done individually and collectively as believers in the church as a whole. Would you pray for the church that it would get more involved as the Lord would have us to?
Oh, yes, definitely. Lord, I just ask God that you would just strengthen the church, that you would give it a voice, Lord, and a heart to speak for the preborn. Lord, that your creative spirit would show churches and communities how they can be a brother and a sister to the preborn, how they can be a family to these children that are abandoned by their family, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us the wisdom to know what are the best ways to act, what are the most effective ways. And I pray, God, that you would raise up leaders, first in the church, Lord, and also in the states, leaders that are willing to protect the preborn, leaders who are willing to work to establish a right to life for preborn children, to restore personhood to them. Lord, we know that you alone can do it. I never thought I'd see Roe v. Wade overturned in my lifetime. And Lord, you did that. That was you. You used us to accomplish your will. And Lord, I just pray that you would use the church to become a voice, a strong, loud, loud voice for the preborn in our nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege we have of being your church, the hands and your hands and feet in the world. Lord, give us boldness to speak the truth in love. Give us boldness to love people boldly and to be willing to do whatever it is you're calling us to do to help take a stand for life. Help us to boldly come alongside ministries like Operation Rescue and many other ministries, Love Life. We think of many pregnancy clinics that are out there. And Lord, I thank you the fact that so many pregnancy clinics literally are struggling because churches are not supporting them like they could and should. Lord, stir the church to find the local pregnancy clinics and say, what can we do to help? How can we give monthly or regularly to support your work? Can we send volunteers? Help us to look for opportunities to be your hands and feet in supporting life in our communities. Help us to know, Lord, that there's no time to waste and there's so much work to be done and there's so much we can do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sarah, would you share one more time, if someone wants to learn more about Operation Rescue or would like to get in touch with the ministry, how they can do that?
Sure. They can visit our website at operationrescue.org. That is the best way. You can also email me at sarahn@operationrescue.org. But most of the article we talked about today, all of our articles are on our website. All of our campaigns, information about our annual surveys that we do, every annual survey, all of that can be found on the website at operationrescue.org.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sarah. And Father, we do lift up that precious young 16-year-old girl as well, wherever she is, whatever circumstances. Flood her with your spirit, mercy, and grace. Keep her and her baby safe from danger, evil, and harm. And bless so that that baby will be born. And Lord, let the name of Jesus be lifted up in that story and behind that story as you would have it to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Sarah,
amen.
Thank you so much. And again, please keep up the great work that you're doing with Operation Rescue, okay?
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. And let me say to all of our listeners, please pray much for the ministry of Operation Rescue. just with some of the unique challenges and the things that they're facing as a ministry as they boldly do what God has called them to do. So please pray daily for the great work and mission behind Operation Rescue. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day to get saved. Today is a wonderful day to commit your heart and your life to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey and live your word daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you, want to make connection with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. And as we mentioned, please pray much for the great work and mission of Operation Rescue as they continue to do the work the Lord has called them to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.